shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, Interweb friends. This is the Stop the Movie podcast. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. Sometimes they are so bad, we need two episodes to make fun of it. This is part two of our Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice episode. We could probably do a whole episode on the punctuation used in that title. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm joined again. Everyone's back. Nick Newert. Jack. I know. Jack Estabrook. Cody Wolf.
The biggest lie in America is that Superman can be innocent.
Cody Wolf. Christy Smurl. We're all back here. Now going through the back half. We're halfway through the back half of Superman versus Batman. Batman versus Superman?
It's Batman. It's Batman v. Superman, colon, Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, there's something involving colons with this name. So let's start off with, okay, first, this is really where Superman shows up to testify at Congress, where he just flies in to our nation's
capital. He has a little conversation with Lois first. He visits Lois, who is covering something in D.C., so Perry pulls some strings and gets her, you know, to cover this story and whatever. And he visits her. And he says, well, oh, no, that's later.
Hotel balcony. Yeah,
I'm confused now.
This is later. No, yeah. I mean,
back to notes. No, you're right.
Superman knows there's a hearing going on involving
him. So he decides, I've got to talk. Yeah, I've got to do it.
And the audience has been told this through many, many, many news clips.
Yes, including the best one with Soledad O'Brien, which I really enjoyed.
Which actually have a quick question for everybody because I can't remember if this was new or not. Did Jon Stewart show up at all in the original version?
No. There were a lot of TV personalities, but not Jon Stewart.
So there's a quick extended cut clip of a security guard somewhere watching Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart is talking about whether or not Superman is American. And it's probably the least funny I've ever seen Jon Stewart. Because he talks about how one-third... He says, Superman says he's not American. Oh, yeah, well, what about the red and blue outfit and the fact that you have one-third of USA on your chest? I'm like, that's the entire thing.
Yeah, probably the joke was written by the writers of this movie.
Yeah. I cannot believe that Jon Stewart put himself in that.
I will say, I don't like...
He probably shot it and was like, can you guys cut that?
Yeah.
I don't like the way the costume looked in this movie. And you get a really good shot of this costume when he walks down that aisle. And it just looks really, like, dumb. Like, I do not like the design on the Superman suit.
It's, like, the least of the problems.
I know, but I needed to mention it.
So he shows up to testify, and Holly Hunter starts kind of freaking out because she's realizing that on her, like, desk...
is Granny's peach tea.
...is a jar that says Granny's peach tea, a callback to... when she earlier said to Lex Luthor that he could take a piss and label it Granny's peach tea. So Holly Hunter starts kind of like freaking out.
Because she notices that Lex isn't there.
And Lex isn't there. Something but bad she might happen. She doesn't say anything.
No.
Which is weird.
How would she have known that though, that this bomb was going to go off? Maybe she's just appalled at the peach.
Okay.
She didn't necessarily know that a bomb was going to go off, but she knew
something was up.
Something was seriously wrong.
This is probably the biggest chunk of the extended cut, the difference in this leading up to this.
Okay.
Because, so, if you remember back to the beginning of the movie, when...
That was so long ago.
The African woman comes and testifies to Congress about what happened in the village, and she talks about how her village was burned and everything like that. She's actually been back a couple times since then.
Okay.
She's being stalked by the Russian that works for Lex. Uh-huh. She actually goes to Holly Hunter and confesses everything to Holly Hunter that Lex paid her to say that in her testimony. And then the Russian guy throws her in front of a train. Yeah.
Okay.
So Holly Hunter...
Superman should have saved her.
I know,
he's faster.
That's perfect, Superman.
Yeah.
Holly Hunter going into this scene is... like, it actually is a very kind of abrupt cut. Like, literally walking down that hallway, she's talking with her, whoever's walking with her, saying that Lex Luthor's behind this whole thing. He orchestrated it all. And then she runs into Lex. So she has just found out that Lex is behind everything.
Okay.
And that's what's... that was all cut out.
Why have her character figure it out and not, like, somebody who needs to know that information, like Batman?
Well, or, again, because they're making the whole thing about this African village where, at any point, it sounds like... it's so late in the movie, the CIA guy or that national security guy is like, hey, this bullet was made by LexCorp. And I'm like, how are we just learning this? Like, this should have, like, whatever the time frame of this movie is. I don't know if it's 10 days or if it's, like, a year, but, there's no way that that should be coming out at that point.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. So, the guy in the wheelchair is there. His wheelchair is a bomb. The whole Capitol building blows up.
Which I appreciate Christy earlier answering my question, because literally in my notes was, why didn't Superman see the bomb with his X-ray vision? And now we know.
Because the wheelchair, was lined
Did they mention that, though, in the theatrical?
They do.
They do in like a newscast.
Oh, that might be
where they're like brief, like right afterwards, they're like...
Yes, there's a whole thing in the newscast where there's a newscast based on, was Superman involved in the Capitol
but then
bombing?
Immediately it's like, no, he wasn't. They say something about the wheelchair being... I think they mentioned the lead thing.
Oh, did they? Okay, I didn't.
They may have.
No. I think Lois mentions it when
in the hotel scene.
In the hotel scene, when he's like, "I should have seen it. I was distracted or something." And she's like, "No, they said it was lead lined. There's no way you could have seen it or something like that."
I didn't mention that.
Okay, I didn't catch that.
Because I thought that scene was him saying like because he says I didn't see it because I wasn't looking.
Yeah.
So he is taking the blame on himself. I don't remember Lois saying it there because I don't think she knows yet.
Again, this is something the movie needed to get into was that Superman can't be in all places at all times and that he's being overtaxed. It is possible for innocent people to get shot because Superman can't get there in time.
Standing right next to a bomb.
But in this case, you're right. In this case, it's not played very well. Yeah. In this case, now he cares. Where in the first movie, he's like, well, I had to do what I had to do to stop Zod.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this, now he's like, oh, no, there was a bomb and I was standing right next to it. It's like, well, why not feel that earlier in the film? Why not have development for Superman instead of him just being there and wasting time? Hey kids, Batman's popular. Buy toys. Here's another nightmare to show how paranoid Batman is. Batman's cool because he wears black. You know, and meanwhile, Superman, you're getting nothing. You're getting like fragments of Superman's personality like showing through and remorse. And I don't know. It just doesn't work.
It doesn't make sense.
Nothing in this movie works.
And now, okay, we should say Bruce Wayne is now really going through that hard drive that he has had for quite a while, the Lex Luthor hard drive. And apparently now he's like, I'm going to really go into this.
Right. Now here's where Lex gets... Well, my note says Lex goes onto Zod's ship, so I must have skipped some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. He goes onto the ship. And
we're at the CrossFit scene.
There's so many
scene.
Problems with that, too.
Yada, yada, yada. Credits roll.
CrossFit. Yeah.
Well, he's looking through the hard drive and he sees these clips of... Which, this whole scene, I mean, I don't understand what they're doing, but it just grinds everything to a halt.
The
hammer us in the face with the new Wonder Woman theme.
Well, and they show us a picture.
No, that wasn't just Wonder Woman, though. That was like, I think that's the Justice League.
Yeah, it must be Justice League.
It comes with all of them.
Yeah, it's called the Wonder Woman theme on the soundtrack.
Oh, it is.
So he finds...
So then why is it playing for everybody else, too?
He finds these clips of, like, the flat, like, these security, you know, clips of, like, the flashing of convenience store being really fast. Who's the other guy? Cyborg, whatever.
Cyborg.
Which I didn't know. Like I had looked because they don't. I don't know who Cyborg is. I didn't know that.
They didn't want to put Hawkman or the Martian Manhunter or the Green Lantern on the team, so they pulled Cyborg out for.
Yeah, but I know as like a casual person, you know, I
had no idea.
Like I know Aquaman and the Flash, but so they show all those, and then he like IMs a Wonder Woman.
Doesn't come till like.
My God, we go through all this stuff.
Well, it's
times?
Connected to it. Though.
Yes, this happens. Well, hold on. This is where this hard drive storyline is spread out. So unnecessary. It is spread so thin. If you did this with butter, you wouldn't even taste it. So he looks at a picture, and it's a picture of Wonder Woman. It's an old timey photo. Of her standing next to she's standing next to Chris Pine.
Yeah, which I was like, why is Chris Pine?
I realize he's in Wonder Woman.
I figured that later, but I'm like,
but that was my
they're
first
setting things up. I just want this movie to be a movie in and of itself, not
the problem is
they're playing catch up.
Yeah, they're trying to. What Marvel did over the course of several movies, Warner Brothers is now trying to do over the course of two.
I felt like I was missing something from a previous movie, not a movie coming up.
Exactly.
And so he's looking at it and he's like, "Ooh, Wonder Woman! Wait, I've seen her. It's that lady who I sometimes talk with and have weird conversations with."
And this isn't like the character's grandmother or like a Photoshop. He immediately believes that this digital photograph is absolutely her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And he IMs it to her and he's like, I found this picture. It looks like you. And it's like, who are you? And
no, that was taken on one of those vintage, you know, vacations where you dress up in costume. Yeah.
Well, here's the crazy thing. He sends this to Wonder Woman. He's like, hey, I found this picture of you. Where did I find it? On the same hard drive you have had the whole movie.
Well, no,
she couldn't decrypt it.
She couldn't decrypt it.
Oh,
she gave it back to him.
Had it super
so that he could decrypt it.
Okay,
in
all right.
In the Batcave.
Okay, that. Okay.
While he took a nap.
And had a weird dream.
Yeah. So crazy.
Or two.
And now we get another scene that I guess was a dream or a vision when Kevin Costner showed up in this movie.
Yeah.
I wrote down,
where is
it?
And where it, no, because Kevin Costner disappears. So this is more like reminiscing memory, like Superman talking to himself in his head.
Yeah, I don't think
it's like a fall asleep dream.
This,
but where is he? Is he like in the Fortress of Solitude?
He's just wandering around in like the Arctic.
He's in the Himalayas. I don't know.
This was a whole elevated level of crazy. And in the scene where Kevin Costner does a legitimately like
it's a good performance.
90, is it?
I think so. It's stupidly put in there, but I thought it was this touching little scene that could have been maybe, I don't know, in Man of Steel instead.
He gives Kevin Costner gives a 90-second monologue about water and like soil erosion and flooding and disappears. And I'm like,
his point was he thought he was doing the right thing, but he was hurting other people.
Correct.
So it's a lesson.
Like, yeah.
Correct. But I'm also watching this scene and I'm like, they needed to cut material from this movie. And
that
this scene stayed. Yeah. This stayed.
It didn't need to be there. It should have been a Man of Steel.
Especially because it confused me. So he's in the Arctic or wherever he is. And he has this thing, he's just like wandering around. And then the next scene is where, or like, I don't know if it's the next scene or one of the very, next scenes is where Lex has Amy Adams on top of the building.
Yes. And Lex kidnaps Amy Adams.
And he's talking to her, and I can't remember what he says to her, but he basically knows if he pushes her off the building, Superman will come.
Yes.
So he pushes her off the building, and then Superman's just there and he saves her.
Yeah, how did
so,
he
like,
know?
Was he,
and she was falling.
Yeah,
he heard her scream.
Was he back in the city at that point? Or was he still in the Himalayas or wherever, and he heard her scream and jetted back and saved her? Like, that's what I was confused.
Because it's daytime where he is, so clearly, if it's happening simultaneously, he's on the other side of the earth.
Yeah, that's why I didn't know if it was like, if he'd come back to the city and was hanging out with
her. I will say there is, because again, the timeline of this movie, I never understand, because I have in my notes, there was a scene in between those two things.
Yeah, there's like one quick,
of Batman. So who knows how long.
Oh, Batman makes his kryptonite spear.
Oh, yeah, it's the CrossFit scene.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just didn't know where Superman, if like that.
Because that's going to give him like 0.000002% greater strength against Superman.
But let me
let me
follow up Cody's point, because I think there's something even crazier about this scene. Lex Luthor says to Amy Adams, haha, I know you know Superman, and if I want Superman, if I push you off this building, it's going to make Superman come. Push her off the building, Superman saves her, puts her on the ground. Does Amy Adams at any point say, hey man, this might be a trap? No! She says, she gives him no warning that this is clearly a trap.
Also,
none
of these people are good reporters.
Yeah.
Now that I think of it, so he knows when Amy Adams is in trouble, and he comes and saves her immediately.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But Lex Luthor has his mother.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know
this. And he doesn't know this. He doesn't, I mean, he never came to his mother's rescue, or it's just Amy.
Yeah.
Whenever Amy Adams is in trouble, he's like right there, but his own mother is like, oh, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
She's not really my mom. I'm from another planet.
Yeah. So, Lex, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say the scene in between these two things is one that really kind of confuses me. Just to quickly throw in here, Bruce Wayne is in a burned out Wayne Manor. Is this supposed to be post Dark Knight? Or Batman Begins, technically, is when he burns out Wayne Manor.
Yeah, because he rebuilds the manor. Though,
I just assumed that this was just a different Batman. It's just Batman.
Yes,
Then why not just have it be him looking at a photograph of his dad or something, or looking at the family crest? Why does it have to be a burned out Wayne Manor?
Because it's dark and gritty and serious. Because it looks like Skyfall, and that's why they wanted to put it
in. I think they're just setting up that he had been doing it for a while, and all this stuff had happened in his past, and now
I would also say that as Sucker Punch, I think, taught all of us. That Zack Snyder is just obsessed with dirty, broken sets.
Also, like, Zack Snyder doesn't know what he's doing.
And that too. Yeah.
Okay.
So Martha Kent is now captive, and Lex Luthor says, if you kill Batman, Martha Kent will live. And at this point, I'm like, I really don't know what
and
my
Superman
wants.
Is going to like not fly around the city.
Well,
just
I heard
for Martha
was,
Wayne.
I heard this week. Was I don't know if it was an extended, but there was a scene that was deleted where he does do that.
Oh.
But he's so overwhelmed with like the calls for help from all these other people that he can't like focus on her. And the implication
was he could find Amy Adams.
Yeah. The implication was though that
the red hair.
That Zack Snyder had said that the implication is that he does this all the time, that he just blocks out like cries for help all the time because there's just too much. And so he's just always blocking out people crying for help, except for Amy Adams.
That was not in the extended cut. Yeah. We're now at the point where nothing
that was a deleted.
There's
scene.
No extended stuff anymore.
Okay. Thank God.
Oh, that's good because we now get, this is a funny thing, we talked about this off mic, so now Amy Adams is on the roof of the Daily Planet, and she sees the bat signal go on. Think about that for a second. She's on the roof of the Daily Planet in Metropolis, and she sees the bat signal go on in Gotham.
It's right across the harbor.
So it's right, I mean, we were talking about this before, so this is like a Minneapolis, St. Paul, like they're just, like that is... That is ridiculous.
Even Lex says, just across the bay.
Yeah, and they, I mean, they show a shot like from above or later on where it's like Metropolis and there's like a little island in between and then Gotham like right there.
Yeah. Like, or so San Francisco.
Like, and that island is on
an
island. It's an uninhabited island.
That's nuts.
Yeah, so what raises the question, why doesn't, like I said before, why doesn't Superman help out with Gotham too? He's just
he's kind of a jerk in this movie. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah, because Clark Kent is all critical of Bruce Wayne. He's like, oh, Gotham, it's a dump, man.
You try
like,
fucking
you
crime
do
Gotham
something
City.
About it. You're like, you can see it. Why are you only
people without supervision can see it. It's right.
Yeah. Stand on the roof of your own job. All right, so now we get... In a movie called Batman versus Superman, we get the fight.
I thought the fight itself was good. Like, just if you were just going to watch the fight as a YouTube clip, like, separate of the rest of the film, I thought it was a good fight.
I thought it was jumbled.
Ridiculous,
I don't know. I like the fight itself.
Like, how many times is Superman going to fall for getting shot in the face with kryptonite gas?
Yeah,
I mean,
at least three times, apparently.
Twice in this movie. Yeah. And then, I mean,
the first time he doesn't know what it is, but the second time, just like...
There's just
sonic boom away and then come back or something.
There's also just a point of like, if you said to me, hey, do you want to watch Superman and Batman fight in a dirty, gross bathroom and then have Batman break a dirty, gross bathroom sink over Superman's head? I'd be like, I don't think I want to see that. I'm going to pass.
My favorite part, in the kitchen sink.
My favorite part is when he's swinging him around on the rope or whatever, like hitting him into all the columns. And
Which is, again, Batman being horribly brutal.
Yeah. He wants to kill him.
He wants to
I always said was how weird it was that Warner Brothers seemed to want this to happen, not just to do a crossover, but to do a fight. And it was so much that in the movie, it's an unmemorable movie, but in the opening sequence of I Am Legend, the Will Smith movie, where they show the ruined New York City, they make a point to show a Batman versus Superman poster like 10 years before this movie was even in pre-production. Yeah. So Warner Bros. Is like, yeah, you want to see him fight, don't you? Never.
That was also, you know, the apocalypse and things were horrible. Maybe that's what this is.
Maybe that was the end of the world.
Actually,
but I never wanted to see
that
fight.
It's not a Batman versus Superman poster. It's
Batman, Superman?
Yeah, I mean, there was a comic at the time that had that symbol and you know.
I was about to say, because I always thought that I never wanted to see them fight, like in my life. I was like, I never thought Batman and Superman. I mean, yeah, they have differing views of how to fight crime, and they're thematically very different characters.
But for 30 years now, it's been, well, they'll never get along. They've got to fight.
Yeah.
I mean...
Maybe they get in an argument with each other over how to stop a bad guy that they're
Have you ever read
sharing,
Dark Knight Returns?
No, actually.
Okay. So, in 1986, Frank Miller, depending on who you talk to, wrote a book that either... was the best best Batman story ever, or just ruined the character for the next 30 years.
Okay.
That's what so much of this scene in particular, but the movie as a whole is based on.
Okay.
Very loosely. Right down, like the armor that he wears in the fight is straight out of
Dark Knight Returns.
I don't understand how you can fight in that armor.
Well, how's it going to really help you against Superman anyway?
It gave him super strength.
Because he could break
the sink off of the wall.
That's true.
True.
Must be like
hydrogen. But he's
kind of a rundown bath.
Superman.
He was
I guess so. Swinging a hammer at Superman, I suppose.
When the theory of like he's slowing out the kryptonite gas, I don't want to defend this movie at all. I mean,
you knew he was going to have to use kryptonite to fight him, and it's like, okay.
And how does Superman or Batman now has his handmade kryptonite spear, and he's about to kill Superman?
Because it had to be a spear, not just a knife.
And instead of saying, "Yo, dude, I'm being," he wanted to be able to lift
shots right out of 300.
Or instead of Superman being like, "Hey man, you know Lex is the problem. We all know Lex is the problem. Like, you're allegedly the world's greatest detective, but you seem unaware that Lex is the real issue here."
Yep. It's an ironic title they've given him in the movies, I think. Like, good job, detective.
I know. Yeah. Instead, they find out that both of their moms had the same first name.
And this is how they've discovered they're friends now. They're friends now, in an instant.
Oh. I misjudged you. Your mother's name is Martha, too.
One thing I really don't get, why is Superman even saying Martha instead of just my mom?
My mom, yeah.
Why in... Just Martha for
Kent.
That moment.
Find Martha Kent. That would be, instead of find Martha.
Because once he found out he was technically adopted... Things got a little weird. He just started referring to her as Martha.
I mean,
teens sometimes refer to their parents by the first name because, you know, to rebel. That's what he was doing.
There might have been a dumber way to bring them together, I don't know if I can think of one.
Because the turn is like, he goes from wanting to he wants his blood to
best friends.
We're best friends now.
We are the best of friends. Yeah. Sorry about that.
I'll help you. No, bro. I got it. I got your mom.
Yeah.
And I will say, coming up, I'm fast forwarding a bit, is when Batman rescues Diane Lane, that Ben Affleck and Diane Lane were in a movie where Ben Affleck played the actor who played Superman.
Yes.
That's right.
That's right.
Just thought I'd mention that.
And to move there pretty quickly, in the process of saving Martha Kent, Batman is again a mass murderer. I mean, he kills. I mean, like, it's like a Rambo body count.
I kind of enjoyed that fight, though, I have to admit.
But it was
what
the best
bothered
fight.
Me about it, though, was because I heard so much about this fight from a guy at work who's like, "Yeah, the movie sucked, but that Batman fight was so cool."
I didn't think it was a bad fight.
It was a good fight, but it was straight up out of the Arkham video games.
Yes,
the moves were right out of. Yes. I mean, he's his grapple gun to grab a guy and then hit him, or he's like flinging a box with the grapple. You know, it's just right out of the video game.
Yeah.
So it's like even that is like jacked from something else.
When it was it felt like weird.
So it's not even original. So they're taking Frank Miller. They're taking from video games. They're taking from the Dark Knight trilogy. Man of Steel.
Yeah.
They're really just like drawing stuff.
And they're taking from the Batman Arkham games, which, by the way, every Batman Arkham game has a better storyline than anything in this movie.
Well, and so he would always say like, "Oh, but that Batman." And it's like, okay, once I saw it, I was like, yeah, it's straight up from the games, and it's like 2 minutes, not even 2 minutes, of this 2.5 hour movie. Like, you can't use that to defend the movie.
It's the one
Batman fight in this movie.
Basically. One thing that also kills me about the scene is, at this point, when I was watching it, my husband had sat down and watched some of it with me, and he commented, which I completely missed, Batman is in all of that armor talking to Superman, then he hops in the Batmobile, and he's in a regular suit. Quickest costume change ever. Out of armor. I mean, how did he get out of that suit and into a regular one?
I just assume he pressed the button and it disassembled itself.
There's movie magic.
There's also a laughably ridiculous moment that I laughed at as it was happening. Batman's like, "All right, I'm gonna go save your mom," and Superman's like, "I'm gonna go do things," and Amy Adams is like, "Hey, what about this kryptonite spear? Well, you know what? I'm just going to throw it into this nearby gross pool of water.
In the middle of a building.
In the middle of this is something that could kill Superman and is possibly the deadliest weapon in the world. I'm just
going to
throw it into this hepatitis water and see what happens." Like, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, somebody should be securing this. That's going to be, and I'm thinking to myself, like, well, that's going to be a problem. Not even thinking, like, it's going to be an immediate problem.
Yeah. Like, hey, where's that thing we left with you?
Yeah, we had 1 minute ago.
And by the way, also, and I don't know if this is just something that I don't know from the comics, but does kryptonite only glow when Superman is around? Because that spear, when
depends
Batman is wielding
it... Depends on who's writing and drawing that long play.
And it also depends on the movie or show you're watching.
I would say traditionally... Though Nick is right in that sort of has shifted, but traditionally DC is portrayed as it just glows all the time.
Except when Amy Adams picks it up.
Yeah.
It glows every other time except when she picks it up to toss it.
That's true. It didn't
glow. They forgot the effect that time.
Yeah. She didn't press down the little button that activated the LED in the prop.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we learn that, again, because Superman was just a Dumbo and never secured Zod's ship, Lex Luthor has created a gross Doomsday monster.
I just don't understand. Why, first of all,
this isn't Doomsday's origin.
No, it's not.
No. And but it is kind... Am I wrong in saying that this is... Well, I don't know.
I'm trying to remember what Doomsday is. I think he was...
But wasn't Doomsday like a prehistoric Kryptonian or something?
But don't they want this monster looks kind of like Doomsday.
This is definitely supposed to be
Doomsday. Basically, it's...
He even says, like, this is your Doomsday.
It's goop from a spaceship mixed with General Zod's dead body mixed with Lex Luthor's blood, and that makes Doomsday.
Yeah. But I don't understand like why hydrogen made
oxygen
it.
Why water?
Because when when Superman shows up without Batman's head and Lex Luthor is saying, "Oh, I was hoping the bat was going to kill you, but if he didn't, here's Doomsday."
Right.
Yeah. What was he going to do with Doomsday if Batman did kill Superman?
If you put all this time and resources into getting these two to fight to kill one another or whatever, why you have this other backup plan that's even more... Just make Doomsday then.
And let's say that that is what happens. Let's say Batman kills Superman, and then Lex Luthor's like, oh no, I still have Doomsday going. Now I need something to stop Doomsday. Like,
I've made a horrible, horrible decision.
Like, I made a huge mistake.
Nothing makes sense.
Sound of silence.
We also get... a pretty hilarious moment here where we learn that apparently Wonder Woman's invisible jet will not be a part of the DC Cinematic Universe because she flies commercial.
Yeah. Oh, that's right,
she is flying like
as the city's being
Diana
torn apart.
Diana Prince flies commercial.
Diana
Wonder
Prince.
Woman, however, still is.
I was kind of upset. She appeared to be flying coach, but the stewardess knew her by name.
Yeah, that was weird.
I was kind of upset that the Wonder Woman music from the 70s didn't play a little bit. Just a little bit.
They could have.
About this movie upset me, but that did not make
sense. Clearly, the coolest part of this movie is Wonder Woman, in my opinion, because I was expecting that to be really stupid. Let's shoehorn her in for a shameless.
See, I don't. Everyone keeps saying
and
that.
I thought she was cool.
I didn't like it.
The way she's forced in the movie is stupid, but she's the most interesting character.
I don't think
But I would say this, and I'm not disagreeing.
Well, Jeremy,
but she's such a small part of the movie.
Yeah, they didn't set her up well. So, like, here's a woman who. Is a thief sometimes. She's kind of working with Batman, and then it's like, oh, now she's Wonder Woman, and she's going to fight Doomsday, which the whole fight I didn't want anyways.
And the movie has no confidence. They don't allow her character to do any heavy lifting.
Yeah, yeah.
You could take Wonder Woman out, and the movie's no
different. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And but that's, if still, she was, that's that was again, thing. It made me want to see a Wonder Woman movie instead of continue watching the film I was watching. Like, why am I watching the movie about her? Where is she going? Not more Batman. Stop.
One thing I found interesting is, it's clearly a setup for her because she is practically invincible. Like, nothing ever injures her except for the one time when they had to fit in the sexy woman moment and she's like laying on the ground panting. That is the only time there is ever anything that phases her or injures her at all.
I just thought they could have had her more involved in the plot earlier on.
Yeah.
Like, she could have been more involved in whatever was
going on. Or
maybe
she's the one who's trying to bring all these superheroes together instead of Batman figuring out.
But instead she just
kind of
showed up for the fight
at
the
end. Or she decrypts the hard drive and decides to give it to Bruce Wayne or something like
that. Yeah, if they'd given her a more active role. She's so passive in this movie and I didn't... And I think
felt like she showed up for the fight at the end, and that was it. And I was like, okay, well.
So to move it forward, so they end up. Superman drags the Doomsday Monster into space. The military dude launches the military against that general's recommendations launches a nuke at them.
So much from the Batman movies, I was really hoping they'd baby crying. Jack, it's okay.
Yeah.
The movie's not over yet. I want a movie to be over.
I was really hoping they'd lift from Superman 4 and bring Doomsday to the moon, and then they would fight on the moon, him and Superman.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Instead, they launched a nuke from...
Don't worry. The cities are evacuated.
Yeah.
And
Cooper said the cities
downtown district. It's after the workday, nobody's in the downtown district.
Which, that drove me crazy. That was the worst part of the movie for me. It was like, seriously, after 7 o'clock, there's no one downtown.
Yeah.
It was so crazy.
And then Doomsday comes crashing down on the uninhabited island.
Yeah.
I mean, they just had to
make it clear. Instead of Rikers Island?
Yeah. And it was, like, hilariously blunt where they're like,
it's uninhabited. Like,
I think they would say when he brings him to Gotham, doesn't he say something like, oh, the part of Gotham is empty?
The port is abandoned.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, three times during this battle, they make it clear that wherever they are is uninhabited, which I think is them going, yeah, we killed a bunch of people in Metropolis in the last movie. We're not going to do it this time.
So it ends up with Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman fighting the Doomsday Monster and Lois swimming after the spear that she threw into this gross water.
She has a, like, Lois in this movie is really, like,
she's so
in Man of Steel, they were trying to, like, make her, you know, like, a strong, independent, doesn't need Superman to save her. And in this movie, she's just, like, a useless damsel in distress.
Yeah, saves her, like, four times.
Kind of, that's, like, going backwards, you know? Yeah. Like, that's very...
Yeah, you know, she ends up getting...
I need Superman to save me!
Yeah, she ends up getting stuck in the water.
She makes dumb decisions.
And Superman has to, like, stop the fight or something to go
save her. He hears her banging on the, like, the rocks that fell on top of her.
Which is kind
of
like in but Superman
couldn't hear
the movie.
His mom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he brings up the spear. Doomsday gets stabbed with the spear that Batman made to kill Superman.
Which I also thought, like, so Superman is the one that kills him with the spear. Why not just have Wonder Woman do it? Because she's clearly strong enough to fight Doomsday, and she's not going to be weak.
She's got
to
hold him with the golden lasso so that Superman can stab.
I guess
she could give the lasso to Superman and say, I'm immune to kryptonite, let me do it.
Yeah.
She's technically a little weaker than Superman and has no laser vision, but clearly she's holding her own against this beast. She's fine.
She's absolutely holding her
she's
own
fine.
Against Doomsday.
Yeah.
She's going to be fine. She can do it. She can take him on.
It seems dumb.
It's just bothering me that they had a super, or a, you know, a villain in the end that Batman couldn't fight. I mean...
Yeah.
He had to wait until he could shoot it with kryptonite gas.
From, like, across the bay.
Yeah. For the third time, Batman shoots his kryptonite gas gun.
It's like, that's all he's got, okay.
And he's ready to, like, you know, Tom Wilkinson fist pump it after that, you know? So then it's like, okay, well, so Superman is killed because he gets stabbed by Doomsday.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor goes to jail. Finally gets his head shaved. We then learn, like, Clark Kent is dead, too.
This always bothers me. And maybe I'm hanging on it too much, but the funeral for Superman, the funeral for Clark Kent going on simultaneously.
You're obsessed with this, Jack.
It's beautifully shot. It looks very nice. I'm assuming so Superman is now this great hero that all of a sudden everyone loves, right? He's killed fighting a monster in an uninhabited island, right? The government wants to know who Superman is. Wouldn't they want to, like, confirm the kill? Which tells me they're not going to do a closed casket. Oh, sure, he's in the casket funeral for Superman. Right? But they also have to bury Clark Kent. So, of course, they're going to bury Clark Kent with his family. That's appropriate to do so. So, did they bury Superman first, then undig him? Or did they,
no, they
have
they
a way?
Specifically
they
say,
laid him in state and then close the casket
Bruce
and then
Wayne,
take the body.
Oh, that's right.
Bruce Wayne specifically says...
But they're burying an empty box.
Well, yeah.
He says they're burying an empty box. But at some point, then how do the people know that Superman is dead? Do Lois Lane say, I'm a journalist, you can trust me, Superman's dead, there's no body, let's bury an empty casket in his honor and, like, do with the... I don't buy that. The people would want to see him, like, lying.
Wait, I think I can explain.
We get through 2 hours and 20 minutes.
We're done.
Makes no sense whatsoever. That,
Maybe I'm hanging up on this.
Yeah, this is where you get hung up.
Jack always picks one thing to be really obsessed about.
I think in the world of this movie, they probably did something like...
Maybe the general was in on it.
No,
he said, all right,
no,
fine,
probably,
I'll do you a favor.
Probably Wayne Corporation was like, we'll make the casket for Superman. And Bruce Wayne was like, you know, switched him out. I mean, it's something probably...
Okay.
In the world
still,
of this movie, that's probably
still,
it. Yeah.
I was like, how did this work?
But there's a bunch of other foolishness. Like, then Diane Lane goes to Amy Adams and she's like, oh.
I turned to my girlfriend at this point. I looked at her and said, as soon as Diane Lane hands this on, Clark had it sent here to surprise you. I turned to my girlfriend. I go, I swear to God, it's going to be an engagement ring. There's nothing else that could be in that envelope.
And
that's what's going to be in there.
And why would he have it mailed there?
Why was
like, what was his technique?
In the post office. Like, that's ridiculous.
Well, he could pick it up and fly it to Kansas.
Yeah, I mean...
My whole thing was like, okay...
That was only the plan.
This movie was already depressing enough with Superman being depressed and Batman being angry and all. And now you're actually going to show me a funeral and Lois Lane being devastated because her boyfriend's, you know, dead. And
well, in the funeral,
it's like,
Perry White still can't figure it out because he sees Superman's picture on page one and Clark Kent's picture in the obituaries. He's still dead, figured out.
I can't imagine. I just can't. I would never have imagined a superhero movie ending with a 10-minute funeral scene and being this depressing.
This is the depression of this movie is overwhelming. Yeah. I mean, it's just like it's almost like Zack Snyder is daring you as an audience to enjoy this film. Like it's
challenge not accepted.
Yeah.
So right. Bruce Wayne's at the funeral, and he's talking to Wonder Woman's there, and he's like, "We gotta get everyone together and to prevent bad things from happening because something's coming or something like that."
Because I had a dream.
Yeah.
Because Batman, for some reason, has prophetic dreams.
And Wonder Woman's like, "Okay."
Is there a post-credit sequence, by the way?
There's not.
No, there's not.
Okay. Even on the extended cut.
Okay. Yeah. Now I can't imagine they had any more.
What a wreck. All right, let's go to, is it so bad it's good?
No.
No.
I mean, is there any, I would just say, like, it's terrible. I mean, this is just a terrible,
it was actually
movie.
Worse than I thought it would be. Like, I thought it was going to be bad, and it was.
It's worse on second viewing.
There
are still individual scenes that I like. Not a lot, but there are individual scenes in and of themselves that are good. But they're surrounded by so much crap and confusing plot points and stupid things. It's like, I don't know. It's not enough. It's just not a good movie.
It's
depressing. It's too dark.
It's really like, and the sad thing is that Warner Brothers, and a lot has been made of this, that Warner Brothers is not deviating their plan. Like Zack Snyder is still kind of the architect of the DC cinematic universe, which
I remember talking. It must have been after we recorded the Sucker Punch episode, or maybe it was on the episode, and you said something like, they must have seen this movie and said, oh my God, this is the guy we gave
Man of Steel to. We talked about that on Sucker Punch.
And now we're two movies into that, and he's got more coming up.
He's more
like,
coming.
How are they committed to this guy?
I do not understand. I don't. There was recently an open letter published from a former Warner Brothers employee. I don't know if any of you have seen this. Mm-hmm. Blasting Warner Brothers for letting Zack Snyder continue to be involved with these movies after, you know, just a string of failures. I don't think it was funny. I mean, like,
there's one joke in the movie.
Yeah.
There's like one moment of levity. Yeah. Like one actual like joke.
There's like
and
one
two
joke.
And a half hour movie.
There's like,
I will actually say that there was a second one early on. I think that the Alfred messing with the microphone was the joke about Christian Bale's Batman voice. Which I actually laughed out loud at that.
No, that could be.
Maybe. I thought they were just setting up the fact that he had a microphone and that's why his voice...
There's like little moments of unintentional comedy, but not much.
No,
I mean,
it's
I don't
very
even...
Heavy.
I can't even.
Well, I think I thought she was with you was supposed to be a joke.
It was supposed to be a joke, but that's like the most generic joke.
Yeah,
I think it was that you're a friend of my son, or I'm a friend of your son's. Yeah, I kind of figured that from the cape.
That was like the one joke that I got.
I can't recommend it on any level.
It feels like a friend of mine told me when he saw it. He said it feels like they made Superman Batman the Punisher, and Lex Luthor the Joker or the Riddler. This because they're trying too hard to be cool. Superman sucks. We love Heath Ledger, so the villain has to laugh a lot, wear sneakers and have hair in his face. You know, Batman needs to be more violent. Superman can't just be a PG hero who saves cats from trees, you know? And I mean, I don't know.
Made me want to go back and watch Superman 4, because that was more enjoyable as a Superman movie than this was.
Yeah, it's more genuine
levity
to the character. So, I mean, really, what a downer. I guess the only plus is that the DC Cinematic Universe may provide us with a new wealth of material for this podcast.
Is there any sign they're, in panic mode? Like, are they, Wonder Woman had better bank or else
we're
done?
Well, there was all the reshoots for Suicide Squad. Panic mode.
Suicide Squad itself needed... The version it has now needs a bit of a re-edit.
Have you heard about the way that was edited? There are three cuts of that movie.
Well, I know there's three title cards, so I assume that there were at least three cuts.
So there's David Ayer's cut,
okay.
The director's cut.
Yep.
The studio
okay.
Cut it. And then I guess the version that was actually released to theater
is number three.
They had the company that cut the trailer.
The trailer cut. I did hear
the
story.
Do a cut of the movie.
That trailer.
They sort of combined all three to actually put in the theater.
The trailer cut. I did hear that, but I do know that it got. I heard that it got lighter. They were like, when Superman vs. Batman was criticized for its dark moments, they were like, "Ooh, we got ourselves a slaughter fest in Suicide Squad. Let's lighten it up."
I think, I hate promising we're going to do movies. I think Suicide Squad, from everything I've read about Suicide Squad.
It's better than Batman vs. Superman.
It is.
I don't know. But it has problems.
Yeah,
it has a lot of good characters and a lot of heart.
The stuff I've read about it makes me
want to. It's assembled very, it's an editing complaints. Yeah. What's there could be made into something good, or at least something solid at least.
I'm sure we'll get to it when
I'm sure we will, yeah.
But as it was presented, it wasn't.
All right, we will be back soon. More bad movies. We do know what our next one is going to be. Should we say? Because it is going to be our next one, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we are going to do London Has Fallen.
Yes!
A return to the world of Gerard Butler.
How many times has he been on this podcast?
More than you would think.
This will be his third, right? I would think many, because I don't feel like he's ever been in a good movie.
He's not in very many.
Olympus Has Fallen, Gods of Egypt.
I want to say there's another one.
I feel like there's
another one. I think Gerard Butler's only in
I feel like I've seen him in something.
Unless he was like a small, like, did we do a movie that was earlier in his career where maybe he was like a supporting actor or something?
Like I feel like there is another one we did.
He's got a couple of romantic comedies that could make
this. Was he what was in the bag in Wicker Man?
Maybe he was. I don't know.
What do you got in the bag there, Gerard Butler?
All right. Until next time, we will be Stop the Movie Podcast. Please, if you get a chance, we haven't made this plug in a while, give us a rating or a review on iTunes. That helps in the Weird Owl algorithms that puts podcasts out. All right. Thank you, everyone. See you next time. Bye.